As you notice what we have up here today, we're going to talk a little bit more about fear and its consequences. We all know about fear. I don't have to acquaint you with that at all. But have you, I want you to listen, have you ever heard or ever thought some of these things? I can't help feeling that this, I can't help this feeling of intense fear. Have you ever sort of felt it and didn't even know why you feel it, but you feel fearful? Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever gone through this, but a time when you almost feel a feeling of doom, you know, that I'm not going to make it. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a tragedy. I used to feel that often. But you see, I had OCD, and so this was a chemical problem that I had that brought me to these feelings a lot of times. But it's not just people with chemical problems. This can be people who actually have a fear of dying, a fear that comes over them of doom. Something's going to happen. Wonder, have any of you ever felt that? Like, I just know something's going to happen. Maybe you have. And then, I'm afraid of what others are thinking. When he was like that, oh, his life was just, he was just a happy, happy fella. But he just couldn't break it. I was at his funeral down in Miami because he worked for he was in the Army. So when he got too bad with AIDS, of course, they sent him over here. He came over here. And Curtsy died and was put in not a casket, but a bag. And there was only a handful at his graveside. He was a very popular young man. And when I looked at him, and all that anybody could sing over him was Jesus Loves Me. The rest, we couldn't sing. They couldn't sing. No one knew how to sing that well. And I thought, here was a young man that had such potentiality. He was a great little guy. If you met him, you would know what I mean. You love him at once. But he could not break it. He could not let it go until the very end. So I know there's those who feel like that fear of, I can't change myself. I feel hopeless. And so that maybe some of you feel that way. I am so nervous, I can't think clearly. Now, I don't know if any of you have this problem, but sometimes particularly when you get older, you get a little nervous, you just get a bit confused, you just can't think things through. But sometimes people who are younger, but they're in some kind of a dilemma, some kind of tragedy, and before you know it, they're confused about things because of it coming and hitting them so fast, and they have a fear then. Also, I feel trapped with no way of escape. So these are feelings of fear. I don't know if any of you have ever felt some of them, but maybe you have other sensations and other fears in your life. But you see, fear can be a foe, and it can be a friend. So when we talk about fear, we're not just talking about one-sided, where I am so afraid and I feel that pressure that comes in from fear. No, fear is a friend also, and it's within us in a sense. We were born with a sense. It was actually fear in itself, in the beginning sense, is supposed to be something that will keep us from dangers and harm. But fear, when it is over, when it is beyond that, we see it has another effect. Fear can protect us. God put that in us. There is a physical strength that comes from the fear, which we call the flight and the fight emotion within us, that God gave us, so that when we are in a place that something is going to hurt us, we can run, we can fight. We have extra strength from that. And so you see, it can be a very good thing for us, and it should be. Fear is also a natural emotion that God has given us. What would be wrong? What would happen to us if we didn't fear fire? If we didn't fear some of the things that happens? When we hear there's a tornado coming, we fear that. And so we're going to find something. We're going to find a way of protecting ourselves. So actually, God gave us fear to help us. But the problem is The fear that is supposed to be good somehow has another face. And we'll be talking about that other face. Fear comes with what we call anxiety. And I want to talk about these things particularly today. Oh boy. It's on. I pushed it. Pushed it. Is it in? All right. Okay. We're going to talk about a few of these things. Like, what is anxiety? Anxiety is a close cousin to fear. It's actually, it's in the psychological and the world. It's like an umbrella. Anxiety is the umbrella word that covers various degrees of worry and fear. Worry and fear from the very, just the tinge of it to the extreme of it. And this is a part of fear. Fear itself is the name. But out of this produces things within us. And the one of them is anxiety. We may feel this just once in a while. All of us gets anxious. You know, if something you don't know what's going to happen, and someone has told you that this person was in trouble, right away there comes an anxious feeling about it. Actually, when our child has to go take an exam, when they have to go take a college exam, there may be a feeling of anxiety within us. So anxiety can come in just little patches in our life. But it's when anxiety, which is really an uneasy feeling, a distressful feeling, a threat of something that may be happening and we're not aware of it. It's a sign of uncertain outcomes. I'm anxious about it. When you go to take a test sometimes, and the doctor says, well, I don't know if it's cancerous or not, and then you find yourself anxious. Yeah. You're wondering what that test's going to say. You're wondering how it's going to come out. So that's the kind of thing that it does sometimes. But the trouble is anxiety can come in excess, where it just overstimulates us and gives us real problems. And when we live under that, then we're going to have what we call anxiety disorders. It's not just something that hits us in a moment and is gone for a short period of time. It's gone, but it's anxiety that becomes extensive, that becomes more than what it should be. And then we come into what we call phobias, and we'll talk a little bit about phobias a little later. But it comes into what we call phobias. It comes into a post-trauma effect, like the soldiers have. You know, many of them now are going through this, a post-traumatic stress disorder. It's where you have seen something terrible, and it plays in your mind, and you have flashbacks, and it becomes such an anxious, anxiety thing within you, that sometimes you come disabled. This is what's happening to many of our boys is coming back from Afghanistan and the other places. They're coming under this. And it is it is something that many of them now are unable to really go back into life, go back and face life, go back to know how to love. So that's one. Panic disorder, when you get panicked. Anybody know anything about that? When suddenly you wake up or suddenly you're someplace and you feel a panic come over you. You know, sometimes you're not even sure why it is, but it's from the anxiety that may be underneath, and suddenly it bursts out in a panic attack. We get acute stress disorders. That means that we get overly stressed from anxiety. You see, that's the thing about these things we're talking about fear and anxiety and phobias. It bears on us a burden. It's like we're carrying a ball and chain. Sometimes it's something that we can't really help because it's a chemical thing. You're going to find people that you work with that seem like they're always down, they're always mean, these people many times have a chemical problem. But these things, what I'm trying to tell you, is those things that chains us down, takes away our freedom. we're not able to conquer life the way we should. The obsessive, the compulsive disorder, like I was saying that I have, it's something that can really take you out if you're not careful. If you don't learn how to overcome it, learn how to deal with it. Because you become very you become very obsessed with something, that you must do it this way. You have to do it this way. And from that comes anxiety. And from that comes the panic attacks can come on you. So this is one of the areas that we have to, you see how they work on you. Then we have the anxiety, of course, due to a medical condition. That's one of them. Okay, well, what is a panic attack? We're talking about that up there. What is a panic attack? It's fear, racing heart, dizziness, trembling, all of a sudden. And when you have these anxiety attacks, you don't, what did you mean when you can't find anything wrong? That you go to the doctor, he looks and says, well, your heart? Because most of the time, when you have a panic attack, many times it affects the chest, pains in the chest as well. And right away you think, maybe it's my heart. Many times they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor say, I can't find anything wrong with your heart. When all the time it's just a panic attack. And there are this is something that is, in a sense, you dread these. You hyperventilate, you can't breathe, and you feel dizzy, and all of these different things that come over you, they bring fear to you. And then we're anxious over it. And once you've had these attacks, you're worried then that you may get another attack. And it becomes a very heavy burden on you. So this is one of the things, what panic attacks is really very hard. It's usually sudden. Sometimes it's just brief, because I don't think you could stand a very long time with it. But it's an intense fear that causes these multiple physical things that happen to you. It's actually, sometimes the first one is like it's out of the blue. You don't know why it's happened, but it's an underlying thing. It's like something that's there and suddenly it just breaks loose. And so you have these panic attacks. Okay, then we'll go on to what is a phobia. Now, a phobia is something a little different. Actually, it's the most extreme form of fear. Phobia is. And maybe some of you have had phobias. I've had lots of them when I was coming up. I don't know if it was from the problem I had or what. I was afraid of heights. One time I went to a place. I was carrying a baby with me, Riedel's baby. And that it was straight up to the second or third floor, I forget, maybe second floor. And there wasn't anything on either side. It was just the steps going up, you know. Well, I made it up the steps, but coming down, I thought I would have a heart attack. Sincerely, there's no fear like that fear that comes from a phobia. It really can take you out. I got down the car, and I was thanking God I didn't have a heart attack, because I was sure I was going to get a heart attack. Just from that, I had the same thing about flying. I feared flying. It was God who touched me and brought me out of that. I had fear of heights. I had fear of claustrophobia. I could never sleep against the wall. You know, if two of us are in bed, I can't sleep against the wall. I have to sleep out here on the edge. You know, these are some of the things, but you see, phobias are very difficult. They're something that's, what shall I say, it's with you all the time. You're not going to be afraid of heights today, and tomorrow you're not afraid of heights. You know, it's one of those things that is there with you. How you get them, I'm not quite sure that we really know. It may be a fear of something that's happened to you before, I don't know. But they come in the lives of people who have some problems with this thing of fear. It's irrational. You don't really know why. And it's out of proportion. Why should I feel like this? Why should I feel this terrible, terrible fear? Actually, when I get up in heights, I felt like I wanted to jump. Now that's stupid, isn't it? But I did, and I was afraid of heights. So it's a fear that's irrational. The same with a plane. I mean, when I went on a plane, I traveled probably several years in complete fear. I mean fear. Every time I got on the plane, I thought, this is my last time. This is it. Not going to get off this time, you know? And I remember I was going back from Antigua, I was going back, and I was in Puerto Rico. I think I usually stay there maybe 6 hours, sometimes 9 hours. You know, you really had to stop over then. It was back long ago when you wore your hat when you went on the plane, and you got these nice steak dinners from the plane, and you wore your nice clothes. No one got on a plane looking like we do today. It would have put you off. Well, that was back then. But anyhow, as I got on and I was there, you know, and I finally got in from Puerto Rico. They put us on the plane to go on to Baltimore. I thought I would die. I sat there and I said, this is it. I just knew it. Don't ask me. It's irrational. It's something that you don't even understand. And so I finally looked out the window and I said, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, you're going to have to take this from me. And you know, I remember when the wheels left that ground, it went away. And I never had it since. And I have gone thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Every time I go to Taiwan, it's 10,000 miles to Taiwan and China. And I've done this for 20 years. It shows how God can take this. But it was real. And if God hadn't taken it, I don't believe I would have been able to go on. You know? So these phobias, they're really very hard to deal with. But God can help you. Usually what they do is they make you do the thing. You know, like if you're afraid to go on the plane, you'll have what they call behavioral. Yeah, sort of like that, but they talk you through it. You know, they help you to understand through behavioral. I know there's another word, but I can't think of it now. But anyhow, it's what we all use it a lot now, the behavioral type of thing. But anyhow, they'll talk you through it. Sometimes I remember seeing one where a girl didn't want to fly, and the doctor or the treatment, the counselor, took her through it and actually went on the plane with her and took her through that. So most of the time, to get rid of a phobia, you have to do it and be able to conquer it in doing it. So it's not a very easy thing to get rid of. Now, we want to look at I want to go a little further. Let me see, I think I have a slide for this one. The difference between a normal fear and an abnormal fear. Now, the normal fear is an apprehension to proceed with caution. You know that there's something that you have to be careful of. Breathing increases, and this helps you to deliver more oxygen to your body. So when something's going to happen, or you're sitting in a plane and they're saying, buckle up, put your head down, get into the position, you know, for a crash. There's something in you that you become apprehensive. You begin to breathe deeper and more oxygen actually comes in you. Your energy increases, believe it or not. It provides the fuel to take immediate action. So something happens within your body, in the chemical reaction to the body. The heart rate increases. This is to fuel your muscles with blood. You're hyper alert. You're very alert. It increases your awareness of this danger. And then your mind begins to race to provide occasions to consider, what shall I do? What's the best thing to do if this happens? Your muscles contract to prepare you to either run or fight. And your perspiration begins to cool down the body. Your pupils dilate to increase your vision. Your senses heighten to be able to prepare you as a person to deal with the objects ahead, so your senses heighten. You sleep less, you become wide awake, and your talking increases. This is to aid in communication about the problem. These are the steps that we go through when we actually are in a place where we need to fear. And these things that God has given us helps us to go through this fearful thing. I mean, they have said on plane wrecks where men have just tore the seats out because somebody was caught underneath. They would never have had that kind of energy. But when this adrenaline flows, it really increases our energy to almost a supernatural energy for some people. So this is what we call the normal fear. This is a kind of fear that we need. We need this to get out of any situation that is too difficult to face. But now let's look at the abnormal fear. Actually, it's out of proportion to the action, which is to the situation. We become abnormally fearful. And so what happens? Sometimes we get chest pains or discomfort in our chest, feeling like you're going to have a heart attack. Chills or hot flashes. Now, this is when it may not even be anything great. It may not be anything that's life-threatening like the other may be that we need God's facilitating us. But all of a sudden, this is what happens to us when we come up to something that we become fearful of. We have a choking sensation sometimes. Our hands are cold and we have a tingling sensation. We're detached sensations. You just can't quite grasp what's going on. And you hyperventilate. That means shortness of breath. You feel like you can't get your breath. You get nauseated, maybe diarrhea. All of these things can happen. The rapid heartbeat that's not really helping you because it feels like your heart's going to jump out of your chest. The sweating, excessive sweating, and the terror of dying. This is what many times hits us. Trembling or shaken feels like you are just doomed. Nothing's going to help me. And so you may say, you mean people get this? Yes, many people. This is the abnormal fear. This is where your panic attacks come in. This is where your phobias come in. This is where your anxiety in some of these different things. And this is not what God had for us. He gave us a fear to take us out of any kind of trouble that give us the extra push, but not this kind of thing. And we're the ones that develop many times, unless you have a chemical problem, many times we're the ones that develop this out of the little circumstances that hits our life. So actually, we need to understand some of this. I'm sorry, I should have gone forward again. Is it working again, or could you try again? Yeah, just take to the next step. Oh, okay. When fear begins to fester, you can exchange the pain for peace by focusing on Psalms 23. What I want to show you today is that we can sort of bring ourselves, and this is what we need to do. We need to learn a technique to help us when these fears come to us and try to overcome us. In whichever state we're talking about, in whatever level of fear that you have, the word of God is faithful to us and will help us. Here we see is the Lord's Prayer. And if you'll notice, it is something you say five times. Say it over five times. But the first time when you say it, you say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the second time you say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then you say, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so as you go over this, it can be a calming effect to you because you begin to see it in its full meaning. The Lord, the one. Lord, the one that knows how to keep us and watch over us. He is right now my shepherd. This is a good exercise for when fear comes to you. Imagine you can imagine yourself laying down beside a cool pond of water. Take several deep breaths and begin to say this slowly, each time emphasizing a different word. And then you'll begin to calm down. And this is one of the things that can help you. We can go on with the other verse, my shepherd restores my soul. 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 And so we're beginning to really calm down. And this is what you need to do. Then we have another one we can use. The Lord is my protector. 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 And so as you do this, it has a calming effect on you. And it will help you when you're in the when you feel very tense and having deeper fears. We move from fear to faith. Unfaithfulness and fear walks hand in hand. When we have very little faith in God, and I've learned this. Actually, I've gone through a lot of these, but when I really got to the place I used to trust God, they would pass very quickly. That's how I got rid of a lot of the OCD. I did not allow my mind to dwell on it. When I would get obsessed with something, or when I would get this guilt and pressure, I began to say, no, I'm not accepting the guilt. You know what happened? In a little while, it was gone. The feeling was gone. I know it works. I know from a very serious position I was in at times that God, with our consent and our help and our willingness to try, he can take this from us. So unfaithfulness and fear walks hand in hand because sin is sabotaging our relationship with God. And this is what Satan was doing to me for many years. I loved the Lord. I was in the church, but I was crippled in so many ways because of these things. Actually, I got to the place in one area that I didn't even want to go out the house. Now, I really went through a lot of this kind of thing. So I know what I'm talking about. But I know truly that it was Satan that sabotaged me. Because of my OCD, when I was young and I would read the Bible, and I would start reading the Bible, and then some obsessive thought would come to me. I want you to read all the scriptures down the page. You know where you have your references in the middle of the page? I want you to read all of them. Do you know what a mess that was? You know how hard that was? You know how tiring that was? You know how disconnected that was? But I felt like I had to do it. I just felt like and subsequently I got to the place that I said, I don't want to read the Bible anymore. And I put the Bible away because I couldn't take it anymore. What? Satan was trying to sabotage my spiritual life. But God helped me over this. And I saw how God would help me through some of these things. So I understand what fear and this kind of thing. This kind of will break up our fellowship with God. They know, you know, that you realize that you feel like you're not being faithful to God. And before long, you don't trust him. You don't feel like you can trust him. And so you go through a lot of different feelings. As a result, we see we recognize that, as Adam did, Adam and Eve, they were unfaithful to God. They moved from faith to fear, and that's what happened. As soon as they recognized that they had taken that which God didn't want them, what was the first thing he said? Besides, they want to clothe themselves. They feared God. I can't imagine what that was like. After living in the garden, speaking to God, and suddenly fear grips their heart. So intense, he wants to hide from God. They came fearful and high. They knew they had sinned and they deserved God's displeasure and his discipline. God's display, as a result, what happened here? Anyway, as a result of that, we know that not a physical death took part, but a spiritual death. So it began a long time ago. But remember, the truth will set us free. The truth is God. The truth is his word. The truth is what we can hold on to. And we need this. The first thing is to apply truth is to identify the lie that this fear is gripping us. I don't have to be afraid to go up in heights. It's a lie. I can do it like everyone else can do it. I have to learn how to overcome this, because this is a lie. These phobias I have, this fear, this anxiety, we have to recognize for what it is. It's the fighting of Satan with us, and it's lies that he's telling us. I guess you'll have to push the next one. Oh, was that the last one? Oh, mercy, I didn't realize that. So what we have to do then in our lives is to understand first what's happening to us. Is the thing that we're so fearful of, is it as strong as the feelings I'm having? Is it that bad as the feelings that I'm having? So we must begin. Now, you may not have this now, but there may be some time along life's way that you'll have it. So you need to talk to yourself and say, is this really what it, you know, is this really good for me? Is this what I should be having? Or is this greater than what my fear should be? Now, I tell you, I can see a lot of things, but when I see a mouse, you could run me out of country with a mouse. I am so fearful of mice. But one time in Haiti, and really, I mean it, I was fearful of mice, but one time in Haiti, the young man that worked with us, he found out I didn't like mice. Well, you know any boy, I don't care if he's red or yellow, black or white, that he's going to try. He's going to try. So one day he came, and he came to the door with a mouse. Oh, usually I run. But something inside of me said, no, if you run, he's going to do this all the time. So I stood there, and I held myself until he left. But I saw I could do it, you see, because I realized that I began to talk to myself about it. The trouble is sometimes with these things, we don't talk to ourselves. We just go haywire with it. We just let it overcome us, you know. But if we can begin to see what is the good, if it's too much, then we need to stop it. If it's Satan, we can't listen to him. We've got to trust God. We've got to start taking the initiative ourselves. Until I took the initiative to begin to say to myself when guilt would come, and I've lived under it, I know what it is. Until I came to that place to say, I'm not accepting. I'm not listening to you. I'm trusting God. And it would go away. It was then I started getting victory. So we can go from faith, we can go from fear to conquering. If we trust God, if we begin to work on ourselves with it, begin to look at it in a way that we can find out if this is true, if this is something that's harmful, how can I overcome it? Don't let it just take over your life. And if you meet anybody as you work with people that are like this, try to help them to see these things. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming today. And I made it through. Usually when I'm here with two sermons, I have a time getting through them. So you may go now and get your coffee. But then.